you are awesome. Oh, what a pitiful. You're awesome, man. You are the greatest thing on earth. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're phenomenal. You are seriously phenomenal. And it's great to have you at New Freedom. For you online, we couldn't look to our left and our right, but we look right through the camera at you and say, you're beautiful. Amen. We're in agreement together here at New Freedom that those listening online are great and God has great things for you. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we receive the offering this morning, I'm just in awe of God. God is a wonderful God. He's a great God. He's a good God that has good gifts for His children. And here's one of them. I want you to see something here that, you know, in an offering, if you can realize that offering means more than just finances, like Jesus was an offering. All right, offering is way more than just material or monetary things. An offering expands. Our life is an offering to God. Amen. So offering is much bigger than our narrow minds try to justify it or put it into some place of, oh, it's just about my tithe and my giving, my amount that I give. No, offering is everything. Your whole life is an offering. Amen. And when you can see it that way, you start realizing the kingdom is much more expanded than what we can think, that our capacity holds. So in this scripture, Paul is explaining to the Corinthians about being a cheerful giver, starting in verse 6. But we're going to start in verse 10. It says, now may he, who is he? The Lord supplies seed to the sower. He's the supplier. You know, when you go to the store, there's a supplier, Tractor Supply. It supplies things, not a lot for tractors, but it supplies a lot for agriculture and animals and pets and your yard. And it just supplies around the home, right? It's a supplier, okay? So we need to realize that the supplier of heaven is the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And as a child of God, we have a supplier, and it's the Lord. So the supply is not the world. The supply is not your job. The supply is not the church. The church isn't your supply. The Lord's your supply. The pastor's not your supply. The Lord's your supply. Okay? So when we start understanding how God operates, He is our supply. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And there's different translations here, but He is the one that is your supplier of not only the seed to the farmer or the one that sows, but he also supplies bread for food. So isn't that wonderful? So when you go to the store, you can go to the store and get seed to sow, but you can also go to the store and get food to eat. So God supplies not only what you're planting, he's supplying your sustenance in the midst of it. Hey, this is powerful here. God is your supply. So he supplies more than just what you have need of. He supplies what you're going to sow. Amen. And he's the one that's going to process and raise up and grow what you're going to reap. And you're going to see something here. When you put the primary things first and put it in order about who's your supplier, you'll realize that the supplier interjects in every area of your life. Not just your finances. Every area of your life, he's your supplier. He's your everything. He's your all in all. Amen. So now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So he gives you the seed. He gives you the food to eat. But he also multiplies the seed that you're releasing. So when you release seed, you're actually releasing more because God is going to add to what you release. Amen. So if you sow $2, you're not really sowing $2. Because when they sowed the loaves and the fish, they only sowed 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they fed 5,000. How did that work? God added to the supply. Hey, hear me out here. When you realize it, it's not just what you do for the king. When you do something for God, God adds to that. And it multiplies and it expands supernaturally beyond what you see that you're sowing. See, you get what I'm saying here. This is, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying, but I'm believing you're going to get it down deep in your spirit, because when you realize that God can add to what you're sowing, you want to sow more.
Amen.
Amen. You want to sow here? Oh, I want to sow here. I want to sow to new freedom. No, but there's other places I need to sow too, because God wants to expand things and add to areas there. You go where you sow. Amen. So when you sow into something, you're expecting a return. You're expecting something to expand. So when you believe in something and there's good ground, you want to sow into that, because that good ground, that godly spiritual ground, has the ability to produce a whole lot more than some dead area that is unproductive ground. Amen. And new freedom is good ground to sow into, that the Lord is upon, His anointing is upon, and it's going to add. Because the supplier is going to give you the seed, he's going to take care of you, and he's also going to multiply what you sow.
Amen.
Man, that's three blessings of promises right there in like two verses, or one verse. Two lines in the Bible have three promises right there. You see the goodness of God, and you grab a hold of this truth, you're going to realize something here. God is a good, good God.
Man,
there's three promises in two lines. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Here's the fourth one. And increase the fruit of your righteousness. You know that word righteousness in other translations says generosity. Generosity. So here we have giving. And people will say all the time, oh man, the church wants my money. The church, God wants to bless your butt. That's what it amounts to, is he wants to give you seed. He wants to take care of you. He wants to bless what you sow. Amen. And the fourth one here is he is going to increase the fruit or the production of your generosity.
Hallelujah.
Man, he's going to increase your ability to be generous.
Yes.
If you think you're generous in 2023, you're going to receive some greater generosity. To everyone that sows, you're going to be able to sow more. Why? Because you'll be more blessed to sow. You'll have more to give. The more you plant, the more you produce. And that's just in that seed that is planted in the ground and dies and springs up. And the Bible says there's the blade, then the ear, amen, then the kernel in the ear. And that's off of one seed. What if you're sowing multiple seed? You got production going everywhere. Amen. You got production in the youth. You got production in the building. Amen. So when you need to build something, you got seed in the ground. The Lord's going to build it for you because you did it for somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. When you sow into someone's ministry, what they're putting their hand to, you have seed in that. So you're going to have a harvest when the time comes for you to do something. Amen. There's been many times where, you know, the pastor, my spiritual father in Pennsylvania, they needed a well for their upper room prayer building. So he sowed a well in Africa. And guess what? The well came. And they said he couldn't get water there. But God had otherwise. God had plans. Amen. God had plans. And God has plans for you. When the world says no, God says yes. Amen. Some of you are thinking, well, I really want to buy a house. That's the desire of my heart. I want to get married. I want to buy a house. And the market's like, there's no houses. Well, that's the market. That's not God. God says, I got a house for you.
Amen.
Amen. And he's got a house for each and every one of you that he's building, a mansion in heaven. So, yeah, amen. So whether you like it or not, if you want to have a tiny house here on the earth, that's totally your prerogative. But they don't have tiny houses in heaven. They have mansions in heaven.
Amen.
Mansions in heaven. So when we sow, you realize something here. It's all about God. It's not about you.
That's right.
The sowing is not about you. All you're doing is being a steward. All you're doing is taking the seed and saying, Lord, I'm going to plant this seed. You're going to multiply it. You're going to add to it. You're going to watch over it. You're going to bring the production and the harvest by it. And you're going to give me more to sow next time.
That's right.
So when you're faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler over much. And I'm telling you right now, you can't outgive God. You try it. You make it. This is the first Sunday of 2024. And I'm telling you, you make a declaration in your spirit. Don't tell anybody else, between you and the Lord, and say, man, I'm going to be a bigger giver this year than I was last year. And by the end of this year, you're going to see supernatural increase in your life. Supernatural increase, because by faith you're sowing the seed and you're being faithful and a good steward with what God's given you. Amen. That goes for you online. I know I don't look at you guys online, but I'm speaking to you. Amen. But just the atmosphere right here, I like to look at people's faces. Amen. Amen. I like to look at their faces. Amen. So God has great things for you. And when we realize that it's not in our own fleshly power or the arm of the flesh that causes things to come to be, it's the Spirit of God. It's real. It's the one that produces the seed, that gives the seed, that takes care of you and brings a harvest from the seed. It's all about God. So your life for God in the finances works the same way with in faith, in ministry, in marriage. God ordained marriage. Marriage was here way before you thought of it, or way before you tied the knot. Amen. God knows how things operate. And when we see that, we put our trust in Him and we believe in Him, and that settles the whole thing, and it takes the weight off of us of having to perform. It's not a performance. It's an obedience. Obedience is different than performance. Okay? I can obey God, but it's up to God to make everything work out the right way. I just have to say, "Here I am, Lord." That's obedience. Here I am. I'm willing and obedient. You eat the good of the land just by being willing and obedient.
Amen.
It doesn't say you eat the land. Or you eat the land. Don't eat land. You eat the good of the land, the production of the land. What it produces, you partake of that because you're willing and obedient.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you eat the good of the land because you labored, prayed, prophesied, and sweated all the days of your life. It doesn't say that. It says you eat the good of the land because you're willing and obedient. Amen. It's same thing with the kingdom of God. When Jesus says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," it says you were good and you were a faithful servant, you enter into the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say because you did this, 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 and this, and your list is longer than your neighbor's list, so you have more joy. No. The one with the five got the same reward as the one with the three. Because they were faithful to do what God said for them to do.
Amen.
With the three versus the five.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So people are looking at a spiritual perspective, and they're looking at it in a natural way to get a spiritual response, and you can't do that.
Right.
You got to take the truth of God's word, apply it, and reap the fruit from it.
Amen.
Amen. And that goes for this too. So with your finances, when you become a good steward and you say, "Lord, thank you for this seed. I'm going to sow it in the good ground. I'm going to believe you and trust in you. You're going to multiply it, and you're going to increase my righteousness, my generosity." So a fruit of righteousness is generosity.
Yeah.
That's a fruit of righteousness. If you have a giving spirit, you're a righteous person. That is, even the world doesn't get it, but there is people that are operating, amen, in a form of generosity that don't even know the Lord. Because God has planted it in every person to be a giver. They just don't know it yet. That's a characteristic of God, is to be a giver. It's just when you're in your flesh, you don't want to give. You want to reap. You just want to keep it. But He gives seed to the sower. So if you want more seed, you got to sow. You got to sow. If your barn is filled and you're not sowing seed, He's not going to give you any more. And any of you farmers around or been around seed, you'll realize that if seed sits too long, it does not germinate. I'm telling you, God has something for you in 2024, and you got to plant the seed, or it's not going to germinate. The germ decreases in the seed. Its ability, its vigor to produce goes down the longer it sits. I'm telling you, don't base things off of the world. Sow the seed, trust God. Amen?
Amen.
Ushers, you can serve the people. Amen. God is good. What are you believing for? When you sow this seed, seed always reproduces after itself. So if you don't put your faith in something, you're sowing a seed, you got to put your faith into it. You got to be believing God when you sow it. Amen? Amen. You got to be believing God. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. See, you can sow and still be taken care of. Some people don't sow because they're afraid they're not going to be taken care of. They're using, they're eating their seed. All right? God has more than enough seed to feed you. Amen. To feed you and to take care of you. More than enough. More than enough. Amen. If you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for these promises that as we put our faith into your word, that you are, we are sowers of the seed that you've given us. Father, I thank you for the stewardship, the ability to trust God and say, Lord, you've given us the seed. You've blessed us. You've prospered us, Father, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we know there's more. And we're sowing into your kingdom. We're sowing the loaves and the fishes, Father God, and you're going to multiply them. And feed the nations. Take care and watch over the world, Father God. And also New Freedom Church, Lord. I thank you for the blessing that is on New Freedom Church. I thank you for the ground that's established here that's going to produce a hundredfold return. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if I didn't say it, God's good. But I know I said it because that just flows out of my mouth. Amen. Well, when you know who God is, it's you don't have to think about trying to say a religious statement like, I think God's good. No, you already know it. It's deep on the inside of you. It's deep on the inside of you. Like, I'm healed. I'm free. Yeah. Amen. My sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. You get it on the inside of you. Amen. Well, today's message has shifted some. Being the new year, I had a sermon, and then the Lord's shifting it a little bit. It's similar. But the title of my message today is, I Need Order. I Need Order. I Need Order. And I know that sounds like a kind of title, but that's why it's that way. You need order. I need order. And when you find out God's order, it changes everything. I realize in my life over the years that the more things are in order, and I don't mean religious order. I'm not talking about legalistic order. I'm talking about heavenly, divine, scriptural order. When I have, wherever order is, there's blessing. God's hand is upon where there's order. But it cannot be legalistic. It cannot be out of works. It cannot be out of the flesh. I'm talking about divine order, spiritual order. That's the foundation of what I want to talk about today, is God is establishing his kingdom in everywhere and in everything, including you. God's establishing his kingdom. In the kingdom, there's order. Amen. Amen. If you don't know it, there's divine order in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus did nothing till he heard the Father tell him to do it. You say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. No, he only did what the Father told him to do. And he didn't do any more or any less. He did exactly what he was told to do. Divine order. Divine order. I mean, some people, you can look at life and realize that things are out of order. Yeah. Some it's easy to see, some it takes a little while to figure out, but when you get revelation of what God's word says about order, and you understand it and you implement it on the inside, you realize, wow, I wish I saw this sooner. There's things in ministry that I look at, I was like, man, I wish I saw this sooner. It would have brought better order to my home, my family, the ministry, the church, all these things. But I don't get condemned about it. I don't get burned out about it. I don't get frustrated about it. I just say, well, better late than never. Let's start today. Today's a new day. Amen. And that's the greatness of God. You can repent and get back in order. Amen. Amen. Sin may drive you a certain way or may have carried you for years a certain way. Then you realize the sin, you repent, and then you get back in the flow of God. How beautiful God is. It's divine order. It's called forgiveness. God's forgiveness is a key to divine order. Yeah, yeah. That's how he operates. What is the first thing that Jesus did? What's the first thing that John the Baptist did when he was preparing the way of the Lord? Amen. That's divine order. He was preparing the way of the Lord. What was the first thing he did? Repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. He dealt with sin. And when you deal with sin, you get right in the flow of God. What's the first thing Jesus does with your heart? He gives you a new heart. Why? Divine order. He places in you the kingdom of God so it can work through you and bring order and blessing to your mind, emotions, feelings, body, physical, all those things. He doesn't deal with the outside first. There's a divine order. He deals with the inside first. And when you see that, you realize, God, I love you and I need you as my Lord and Savior. This isn't something I can do on my own. I can't handle this life on my own, and I'm surely not good enough to enter into eternal heaven without you. Man, give me divine order. Yeah, amen. Amen. When you see these things, you're like, I need you, Lord. It's not an option. My life now is not an option whether God shows up or not. Oh, well, if he wants to, or maybe I'll show up for church, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll pray, maybe I'll... No, it's, I know there's divine order. I know there's things that have to be in place in my life. And I, guess what? Realizing you need order, the first step to that is knowing that things are out of order. When you realize you need something in order, it's because you realize things are out of order. That's why sin is important to understand and to remove out of, because it brings God's divine order. Amen. So God has a plan, and you're part of it. We have been in prayer and fasting for a week now. We have two more weeks here at New Freedom of prayer and fasting. What is that? That's bringing divine order. It's bringing divine order. Prayer and fasting brings divine order. It refreshes your spirit, and it puts your flesh under. Divine order. It's the way God did not intend you to be fleshly driven. God did not intend you to walk in your physical body and allow that to rule and reign your life. Amen. No. Jesus came to break the power of sin, break the power of the works of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, and start walking in the Spirit. Yeah. Start walking in the Spirit. Matthew 6:33, that's our foundational scripture. But as you turn there, I just want to share with you the need for order. When you bring order, it sends ripples and ruffles feathers. When you bring order to something, it shakes something. Amen? When something is out of order, it shakes things as well. Have you ever driven a car that's been like the wheels half fallen off, or something's loose on the front end? Everything shakes because it's out of order. But I tell you, when you straighten things up and you bring order to something, it also sends ripples. When you accepted Jesus Christ, it sent ripples. Amen. Get this. It sends ripples through the supernatural. Demons shake when they find out that you got saved. Amen. They not only shake, they got to leave when you get saved. Amen. When you got born again, the darkness had to go. And that literally shakes. Think about it this way. Look at Jesus. When he was resurrected, when he rose, it quaked the earth. It shook the earth when Jesus, the Son of God, was resurrected. What kind of influence did that have on darkness and demonic activity? It literally shook hell to the core when Jesus rose, because the divine order took place. And from that moment, mankind could live in victory over darkness, victory over sickness, victory over disease. The enemy rippled and shook and quaked when Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. And today is your day to shake hell. Amen. Because the divine nature in order that has been placed in you has the power to shake darkness. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he shall flee. That's divine order. When you submit to God, you are divinely placing yourself under heaven. The hand of God is upon you, and the enemy can do nothing about it. That's the victory we have, church. As born again, spirit-filled believers, we have the kingdom of God living on the inside of us. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Divine order. It doesn't say seek third. It doesn't say seek fifth, seek tenth, seek whenever you have time. It says seek first. That's divine order. First is number one. At least where I come from, There's no other first. You're either first or you're not. Amen. You're either first or you're second to first. Really, think about it. But it says seek first. So it's saying we must make a decision that we're going to put God first. We have the ability for divine order in our lives. You can't blame the pastor. You can't blame your neighbor. You can't even blame your spouse. You grab the kingdom of God by faith yourself. Now, there's influences. By all means, you can give a positive atmosphere or you can bring a negative atmosphere to other people. But it's their decision. I've seen it time and time again where there may be a home that is totally ungodly, but a child gets a hold of God and all of a sudden, divine order takes place and they just run with the Lord. Amen. Change people's lives. Go in the ministry. Have a ministry. God's hand, God's blessing is upon them. Even their countenance changes because the glory of the Lord is on the inside of them. But there was no environment around them that was conducive to the kingdom of God. Nothing around them helped them find God. That's what I'm saying. But they still found God because God had a purpose. And when he brings divine order to your life, it'll shoot you up into places of favor and grace that you've never experienced before. And no one, I'm not tooting my own horn, but, you know, my dad's a dairy farmer. He was not a preacher, so I didn't learn preacher traits from my dad. I didn't learn preaching from my dad. I didn't learn that kind of stuff from my dad because it wasn't there. He was a farmer. And God wants me to be a preacher. But the favor of God and the order of God, when I asked Jesus into my heart and I got filled with the Spirit, the Lord started showing me. And then guess what? With divine order, God will bring people around you that have the same liking, same grace, same favor, same love, same peace, same joy. That's the family of God. You may not have a natural family that's helping you much, but you got a family here. You got people here that love you, that cherish you, that love to see you Sunday morning. Man, it's so good to see you this morning. I mean that because I know in the presence here, God has great things. Corporate fellowship brings power. You're not alone. You're not living this Christian life by yourself. There is a purpose for you being here. There's a purpose for you listening online. What is it that's that God's favor and God's grace wants to be a part of your life? Amen. That's divine order. Everything flows around divine order. Amen. And when it happened, it's just like when Jesus was ministering and the centurion came up and said, man, my servant is sick. You need to come. And Jesus is like, no, he didn't say that. Excuse me. The servant said, just speak the name, and he'll be made whole. And Jesus spoke. And from that moment, before he even returned to his servant was healed. Yes. Divine order. Divine order. See, people want it a certain way, but when you get God's divine order, you don't have to be everywhere all the time. You don't have to be everything for everybody. God is the one that's everything for everybody. Amen. Divine order is, he's your Lord and Savior. I'm not your Lord and Savior. Good grief, no. He is divine order from heaven. Divine order from heaven. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The word seek there is aim at, strive after, to worship. It's directing yourself or purpose in your heart, plan in your mind, and make a decision. That's what seek is. Seek is you're aiming for something. You purpose in your heart, I'm going to do this. When you seek a job, what do? You got to make a decision. I'm going to fill out an application. I'm going to call them. And I'm going to go show up at an interview. That's on you to seek. It's not on God to seek. It's on you to seek. I know God's seeking. He's going around and, you know, he's looking to bless people and use people. And so's the enemy. He's going around seeking like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So things are happening, but as for us, we must step out and make a decision to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek peace and pursue it. We have to seek it. We have to press in. We have to desire it and we have to want it. You have to have a want. Amen. You have to have it. And you have it. Whether you realize it or not, God ornate, He placed it in you to seek Him. Why? How do I know that? I'm not just saying that to sound good. God's word said He created you before the foundations of the earth. He created you to seek Him. He created you to praise Him. He created you to worship Him. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to come back to there, but Psalms 37, verse 23. Psalms 37, 23. Amen. I believe this is getting in your spirit that you need order. Amen. And I don't mean that in a condemning way. I don't mean that you're out of order. You know, most of the ministry that we minister on Sunday morning is to the church already saved. Amen. But we can realize that nothing is perfect and we're not perfected yet. And there's room for revelation and understanding of order. Amen. As a shepherd, as a pastor, it is my job to bring order in the house. But it's also my job to prepare food, spiritual food, for the sheep to partake of. Amen. And this is an area that when you understand it and you set it, and there's no better time than the first of the year to set things in order. There's no better time to do it. That's why I'm ministering this message. Is the Lord told me, He's like, set it in order. Give the people pasture that they can feed on, grab a hold of, apply to their life, and get the victory and see the promises come to pass. Yeah. Divine order. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Amen. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps means to be established or to erect. The steps, your steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you could read that. The steps of a not good man or a bad man are ordered by the world. Or ordered by the devil. Think about that. Jesus even said it. He turned and He said, "You're of your father, the devil." So your steps are ordered by something. And you got to realize what you want your steps to be ordered by. And that's your decision. That's totally your decision. I did not call every one of you this morning and say, if you don't come to church today, I'm going to come after you after church. It doesn't work that way. Your steps are, you chose to come here today. You made a decision to seek God this morning. You made a decision to fellowship with your brother and sister this morning. You're seeking the Lord. You're seeking after what God's best for your life. Yeah. Amen. You're ordering your steps. A good person orders their steps. They're ordered by the Lord. If you allow the Lord, He'll walk with you and talk with you all the days of your life. There's not a step you need to take that's not out of God's will if you choose to allow God to make your steps ordained. Amen. 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 The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Order brings blessing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So it's your steps of a good man that's ordered by the Lord that brings blessing. So often, we think the blessing comes first, and then that brings order. Once I get blessed, I'll get in order. Once I have this amount of money, then I'll do this. It doesn't work that way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The order of your steps comes first. It doesn't say, oh, I'm going to have a Christian home because, you know, just because I want it. No, you create it by the steps you take. The ministry God has for you just doesn't show up. This just didn't show up. There was a lot of obedience and sacrifice. There was leaving mother and father. Leaving brother and sister, traveling across the country, laying down inheritances. All that. Those were steps that the Lord ordered me to take to get to where I am now. It just doesn't show up. Oh, I want this ministry. That's a wonderful desire, but what are you going to do to get there? Your steps must be ordered by the Lord. There has to be an order to get to where you're going with God. Yeah, God likes to bless, but he blesses order. See, the world doesn't want to hear this. People don't want to hear about order because it messes with their flesh. They don't want order. Man does not want to be told what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm offering what you should do. Yeah. Amen. There's a big difference. In love, follow God. And then it's up to you. It's totally up to you. I'm giving you the promises, the steps you need to take, that the Lord's going to take you to get to where God wants you to be. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And nobody can force you to do it. Religion will force you to be a certain way. Religion will try to make you make certain steps to get to a certain place. You got to go through this hoop, this hoop, this hoop, do this, this, and this for that amount of time, and then you can finally maybe be good enough to be this. Right. Dare I say it? Why does the Pope have to be like 70 before he can become a Pope? Because he has to go through all the little classes, all the teachings, all the study, everything's approval by man to get there. And then he's almost so old that he can't figure it out. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't work that way. God creates your heart. You get on fire for God and you run with God. David was young. Amen. God spoke to that. He was just a little shepherd boy. He bypassed all his brothers. Amen. And took down the greatest warrior, the Philistine, Goliath. Amen. With a smooth stone. Why do we have to look at things being a certain way to get a desired result? The whole army was shaking in their boots, trying to throw armor on David that didn't fit him. Trying to make him a certain person, protect him just maybe for a little while before Goliath kills him. We'll give him some armor. Maybe that'll give him an extra 30 seconds of safety before he dies. Yeah. See, they were all looking in man's ways. God doesn't look in man's ways. God has his own way. He has his own order of things being done. And it doesn't matter what man does, God always shows up to bring about the blessing. Even if you leave Egypt, you're running and they're chasing you, you get to the Red Sea, you get there. And then all of a sudden you have an army in front of you and you have a sea in front of you. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to strike it and it's going to part and we're going to travel through. What they did not, they didn't build a dam. They didn't build a bridge. They didn't have time to do that. We're in a time now, you don't have time to build your ministry. You just have to minister. Get that. That's a prophetic word. You do not have time to build your ministry. Just go minister. Just go minister. Just go share the love of Jesus with your neighbor. Your ministry will grow. You sow that seed, just like I'm talking about. He gives seed to the sower. You know what's even more powerful than a financial seed? The words out of your mouth. The kingdom words out of your mouth. You know God loves you and has a plan for your life. You know what's more powerful than you sowing your tithe? You going and laying hands on somebody and they getting healed of cancer. You're sowing the kingdom of God into somebody. I know you don't have cancer. You'll never have cancer. But I'm just, you know, he was just in line of where I was pointing. We got to see things from a perspective the way God sees them. He has order to things. Back to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So when there is a promise right there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So to be a good man, it's good to be with the Lord. Let him direct your steps. You're automatically a good man. When you allow the Lord to have your life, you're made good. If you're wondering, well, I hope I'm a good person. You don't have to hope when you're following God. You're created good. God makes you good because God lives in you. Amen. The goodness of God lives in you. And he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So here you go. Here's another promise of God. He'll order your steps, but if you slip, guess what? He's right there to pick you up. He didn't let Peter drown. He didn't let the disciples' boat go under. He didn't let the 5,000 go hungry. The disciples are like, you got to release them. They got to go find food in the villages and in the towns, man. They're hungry. And Jesus says, you feed them. All of a sudden, all of a sudden it's like we're trying to remove them, get them out of here, get them they can go take care of themselves. And Jesus is like, no, you take care of them. Go find out how much you have. Jesus already knew how much they had. He knew they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He wanted them to see the miracle. He wanted them to release their faith and say, you know, this is what we have. And sure enough, he showed strong. He showed strong. You may be in a place where you're trying to feed a lot of people and you don't have much. Guess what? If God's there, you got more than enough. Because they had more than what they started with. Huh. Man, divine order has a powerful, powerful reoccurrence ability to bring the miraculous. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. When you bring divine order, you're not only blessed, but your descendants are blessed. If you're thinking about marriage, getting ready to get married, going to have kids, guess what? They're going to be blessed because your steps are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is on it. God is on it. He does not pull back the blessing. He releases the blessing. He's a releaser of the blessing. Glory to God. Mark 8:15. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. I just want to give you a scripture along the lines of order here. And it's talking about, Jesus is speaking here that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So what does that mean? Leaven is sin. Okay, so he's like, beware of this, what they're going to do. And he says in verse 15, he says, then he charged them, meaning he commanded them or ordered them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. I brought this out because, it seems different than what I'm talking about, but I brought this out because we as the church, we as the body of Christ, need to be aware of what religion and what philosophies, what science, what the world is pushing. That's not the order we need to be a part of. Jesus is saying, beware of these things. So there's other orders that want to take and make you part of their order. Come on. There's denominations that want to make you a part of their order. There is clubs, there is groups, there is teachings. Everything has an order to it. And here's the two orders. I'll break it down really simple. There's two orders. There's the kingdom of God, light, and there's the kingdom of darkness. Those are the two orders. And everything falls under those two. So I love the church. So there's denomination. They love Jesus. They're part of the light. They're brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. They're part of the order of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. But there's other clubs out there. There's other types of belief systems, religious things that are not of God. They're not of God, but they have an order that you have to fall under. And I'm telling you, it may look good on the outside, but it's a curse on the inside. It's a curse on the inside. So I just brought that out just to make you excited about that kind of thing. But just be aware of it. Be aware. If your steps are ordered by the Lord, you're already aware of it. The Lord will show you traps. He'll show you things that will hinder you or cause you to sway to the side. Back to Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God. To seek, it means to be attentive, alert, or aware, and focused. See, the body of Christ must be focused. You must be able to see what's going on around you. Amen. So you seek first. You're aware, you're alert, you prioritize. It becomes primary to you. The kingdom of God should be primary to the believer. Above everything else, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is written. That's the biggest teaching Jesus had in the New Testament, was the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because he wanted his disciples to understand you operate out of the kingdom of God. That needs to be your focus. That needs to be your primary place of going. See, when the kingdom of God is your primary thing, that's what you seek first. And when it's out of order, you're seeking something else above God. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, you're seeking first something. Right?
That's right.
Amen.
That's
It's seeking first your job. I've done it for years. I sought first my job. I made that decision based off of what I knew. That's where I was supposed to be. That's what I even went to college. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. Hey, let me say it one more time. You say, why is he saying? Because you need to hear it. I does not work in the kingdom of God. The great I am does, but I does not work. All right? I chose that. I decided that, but I didn't. I based it off of what I knew, but now I know more. So I had to make a decision that I was not going to follow that anymore, and I was going to follow God and do what he called me to do. But it was, I had to make that decision to seek God first. Not money, not inheritance, not man's ways, not my hobbies, not my desires. Oh, geez. Thank you, Lord. I had to do that. I made that decision. See, so often we base our decisions based off of what we know, but if we don't know the truth, then we're making a poor decision. When you don't know the truth makes you free. But if you're not following the truth, you may think you're doing good, but you're missing it. That's called, I need order. I need to see the light. I need to see what God has for me. It's so many things are out of order, and I'm not here to list all the things that are out of order, but man, I'm not even going to say that. That is going to make people upset, and that's not why I'm here. Amen. But people have things out of order. You see people drive cars that are really nice, and then their house is a mess. And they don't even have a house some of the time because everything is based off of a show. It's based off of what other people think about them in the public. But deep down, it's a mess on the inside. It's a mess on the things that should be priority. Because things are out of order. Amen. Hobbies can pull you out of order. You can put that above your family, your marriage. You can put that above God. You think about it. Seek first the kingdom of God. God's number one in our lives as a believer. But what's in the world, what is number one for people? Money, it could be. Job. Greed, the opposite side of the spectrum is what's in order in the world. They're living for themselves because it's selfish down here and it's selfless down here. It's the total opposite order when you live in the world versus the kingdom of God. And the world can't understand it. They can't see it. That's why they need the Lord. They need to realize that there is a Savior, there is a Lord. Thank you, God. See, God wrote this scripture. This scripture is in there because it brings order and stability, peace, comfort, and understanding to your life. As a believer, you can have perfect peace. You can live in harmony with God. Jesus has provided those things for us. That's why he wants us to seek him first, because that's the divine order. It doesn't say seek first some other kingdom. Seek first your own kingdom. Seek first your own will. It's seek first the kingdom of God. First things first. When you make primary things, you get primary results. So if you want God to show up in your life, he has to be your primary focus. Because what you focus on is what you're going to get. What you sow into is what you're going to receive. Make primary things primary. The problem is we make secondary things primary and get secondary results and we wonder why. Because primary things become secondary and secondary things become primary. And you get what you put first. You get what you put first. I'm sharing this to help you and bless you to realize that God has the divine order. And when you believe in him and trust in him, he'll help you fix your life, fix the areas in your life, help you see his order and see the blessing of God. And it's not that something we need to strive for. It's not something we need to pay into. It's not something we need to manipulate to make work. We just have to seek first the kingdom. We just got to lay our life down and say, Lord, I can't figure this out. I'm not sure how to operate in this. Please show me. I submit my life to you. Amen. See, people think they got to do some religious type of thing to get God to move for them. God already moved 2,000 years ago when he sent his son.
That's right.
He already moved. Jesus already took care of it all. All we need to do is trust that God has a plan for our lives.
Amen.
And it's a good one.
Amen.
And it's a good one. You'll realize that the world looks at the kingdom of God and say, well, I got to give everything up and I won't be able to do anything I want to do because God doesn't allow what I do. Do you realize that God will give you the desires of your heart and they're deeper than what you even know? There's things that are more fulfilling that I've realized now that I've served the Lord that I didn't have that desire back then because my desires were in the world, so I could only get worldly responses back.
Yeah.
But now that my heart's fixed on God, I'm realizing that my desire is actually shifted. And the things I didn't think were that important are becoming more important. And the things that I thought were so important really weren't that important at all. And they don't produce anything in my life. They don't help me out. They don't help anybody else out. They're just a fleshly desire I had that brought no fruit or did nothing for anybody. But now I get into a realm where I'm like, hey, I got in God's divine order. He's ordering my steps. I'm walking with him. And he's revealing wonderful things to me that I never thought possible. There's something about when you follow God, it transforms your life that you see things differently. You totally see, like, I love to hunt. I really love, but now I'd rather take somebody else hunting. I'd rather see somebody else go do it and enjoy God's creation and be a part of what God's doing. Give them a place to go, spend some time with them, fellowship with them. That's much more important to me now than shooting anything. I'd rather someone else learn how to do outdoors things instead of me doing them myself. Why? What? That's a desire that God placed in me that what he's gifted and blessed me with, I want to share with other people.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about what I can give, not what I can get. See, the world is a getting mentality.
Yeah.
Get, give, give, me, what can I get? But in God, it's like, what can I give? What can I give? And the more I give, the more I realize he blesses me. Because he can literally see that if I have the desire to help people enjoy the outdoors, he's going to give me opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
He's going to give me ground that I don't even own to help other people enjoy the creation that he has, to sow the kingdom into their lives. Because God will move to get his will done.
Yep.
And when we get in his will and walk with him, he'll start opening doors that we never thought would open. Never thought would open. All of a sudden, whoop, they open up because of divine order.
Yeah.
Divine order. There's things in your relationship with your spouse you may have never thought you could get to, and all of a sudden, when divine order came, the wind of heaven blew and the doors just flew open. You're like, oh, there's a whole new realm here. Even with your children. Even with life in general. Even with ministry. We got testimony after testimony about when somebody stepped out in faith, all of a sudden, chain reaction, domino effect of blessing, doors opened up, houses opened up, properties opened up. Amen. Hey, they're planning the church this morning, first Sunday morning church. They got a building. Amen. There's property that's becoming available to them. Just doors are opening up. Why is that? They're walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Divine order. You have favor with God and man. There's property owners that do not know the Lord that are going to say, no, yes. They can't help but say yes because God's favor is on you and God wants to bring something your way. They'll deep down, they'll be like, no, there's no way I'm going to help the church at all. And all of a sudden, they're like, I'm not giving you anything. There's nothing I have. Here it is. And they just can't. God compels them. God will compel people to do things for you, and you didn't even do anything, but it's the favor of God. You say, well, I don't have anything. What you have is the Lord, and that's what you need. And when you realize that divine order, you'll realize that when I walk with the Lord, blessings are following me. I'm not chasing blessings. They're following me. Amen. God's favor. And I'm telling you, there's testimony after testimony after testimony that's happening in people's lives that they're going to be sharing, amen, about the things of God and what the Lord's doing in them because of divine order. You want testimonies in your life? You want to see God move in your life? Seek first His kingdom. That's where it's at. You say, what does that look like? Just get before Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Here I am. That quick, the doors will start opening. When you say, not my will, but your will be done, all of a sudden His will will start becoming reality. It will start becoming reality to your life. You say, is it really that easy? Absolutely. Only believe. There's a book by Smith Wigglesworth. I encourage you to get it. It's called Only Believe. It talks about faith. Smith Wigglesworth couldn't even read. He was a plumber. I'm not against plumbers. But he had a terrible marriage. I mean, drunk, just terrible. He couldn't figure out nothing. And all of a sudden, he got a hold of Scripture. God got a hold of him. He raised hundreds of people from the dead. The only book he could read was the Bible. He couldn't read other books. You say, well, he was stupid. I'm telling you, when's the last time you raised 100 people from the dead?
Come on.
Kind of quiet. Yeah, including myself. There'll be a day. Amen. But what I'm saying is we look at the scenario and the situation to justify or to make a decision about whether God's there or not. Or we have a performance or a way of it has to be done. God doesn't work that way. He said, only believe. Boom. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your hair color, doesn't matter any of that stuff. Just believe God. Get in His divine order. I want to give you a few scriptures briefly. You can write them down. I'm just going to read them though. But about seeking the Lord and the blessing of it. These are some of the benefits of seeking the Lord. And again, I'm only going to read like six of these, but there's probably about 6,000 in the scripture. But due to time. Psalms 34, 14 and 15. Depart from evil and do good. That's a decision. Divine order. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. When you seek peace and pursue it, all of a sudden the ears are open. God's ears are open and your ears are open. You'll start hearing from God when you separate yourself from evil. Look at that. That's a decision you make. God's already speaking. He's already listening. But it's you making a decision that you're going to seek Him. See how that works? You seek peace. You get away from evil and do good. All of a sudden, you'll start hearing God's voice. If you're struggling with hearing God's voice, I'm not saying you're in sin. But what I am saying is maybe you're too busy. Maybe there's something going on that's plugging up the flow of the voice of God. Amen. And just say, Lord, I don't know what it is. Please forgive me. I may not be able to see it right now, but You'll reveal it to me. But right now, I'm seeking Your face.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm opening up my ear to hear what. And if I need to change something, I'm willing to do it. Yeah. That's the key right there.
Yeah.
When you come to God, you must be willing to change.
Come on.
If you do not change, you're really not honest with God. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I want it, but I'm not willing to change anything on my part.
Come on.
That's a problem. That's a problem, and that's maybe why you're not hearing His voice. It's because you're halfway stepping with Him. You're saying, well, maybe not. Because you still want your will, but you want His blessing to bless your will instead of His. And God cannot bless your will. He blesses His will.
Amen.
God will honor His word, not your word.
Come on.
Amen. This will bless you. This will help you out. This will help you conquer things. It'll help you live in peace. It'll help you sleep at night. And it'll give you a fulfilled life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Divine order. There's one. So it opens up your ears. Amen. Eyes and ears opening, listening to what God's saying. He desires that order. Psalms 9:10. And those who know Your name will put their trust in You. For You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. So God will never forsake you. If you're seeking God and you're living for God, you don't have to worry about God leaving you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He's always there. He's your ever-present help in time of need. Amen. He even said to His disciples, I will not leave you orphans. When I go, the Holy Spirit, the one like Me, will come and dwell with you. Amen. So you never have to worry about, well, the Lord has departed from me. He hadn't departed from you. He hasn't departed from you. He's right there with you. You just got to shift some things around. Amen. Open up your eyes and ears and get in his, get before him again. Amen. Repent if you need to repent. Psalms 22, 26, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. So praise and joy is a characteristic of seeking the Lord. So when we come in the morning to church, what do? We praise and worship God. Yeah. Why? Because that's who we're seeking. We don't praise and worship ourselves. When you give a testimony, it's praising and worshiping God. It's thanking God for what he's done. Yeah. It's all about God. If church is about man or a pastor, it's not church. Church is about God. That's divine order. Yeah. If we change and not come and praise and worship and share of his good deeeds and share the scripture, we're not in his divine order. Yeah. We're missing it. So everything New Freedom does in the past and in this year is going to have divine order to it. God will be a part of it. Amen. We're not just going to feed people. We're going to share the gospel with them. Yeah. Amen. We're not just going to say we're going to pray for people. We're going to lay hands on people. Amen. Amen. We're divine order. Amen. Divine order. It changes everything. Psalms 27, 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What is that saying? To dwell in his house, see and experience his beauty, and inquire, which means to inspect and admire his palace. I enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. See, when you seek the Lord, you enter into realms that this world doesn't offer. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you see what God sees. When I pray and I believe God and I'm focused on what the Lord's telling me to do, when I look at people, I don't look at them physically, I look at them spiritually. And sometimes when you look at someone in a spiritual way, you see the hurt on them. Yeah. And it gives you a compassion to encourage them, to pray with them, to share the love of Jesus with them. Or you see them spiritually and you see the joy of the Lord on you, and then you just fellowship with them. And you see what I'm saying here? Because your focus is looking at the way God sees things. You're entering to his place, the way he sees things. And God sees people hurting. God sees you today. Anyone in here that's hurting, God sees it. God knows it. And God's here to heal that thing. He's here to heal that. Hallelujah. Psalms 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. When you seek the Lord, there's no limitations. None. No limitations when you seek the Lord. So what the Lord starts and what he's a part of and what he's blessed, it'll never lack. New Freedom will never lack. Never lack. God will bring finances from places you don't even understand or know. You can't even think of what God's going to do. It's so supernatural, your mind can't even grasp it. But all we need to do, I am not trying to send out letters all around the world to thousands of people to ask them for money. No, all we need to do is seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord, he'll give you the ministry you need to do. When you seek the Lord, he'll give you where you need to sow your seed and what you need to do with your finances. When you seek the Lord, he'll show you how to speak to your spouse and how to have covenant in your home. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But it's a decision. Seeking the Lord and bringing divine order is a decision. Amen. It's a decision. It's that easy. You don't have to conjure up the details. Stop trying to analyze how it's going to work out. Just seek God. Just seek him. He'll tell you what to do. That's it. Just seek him. Just seek the Lord first. Psalms 105:3, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Joy comes all over you when you seek God. You can be down and out, and you're like, Lord, I need your help. And all of a sudden, the Spirit will come upon you, and joy will flood your soul. You can be down and out. You can be frustrated. You can be at work in the middle of a situation you don't know how to handle, or something went terribly wrong at work, and all of a sudden you can still be content and full of joy because what you're seeking. The situation doesn't define you. God defines you. God defines you. Amen. What you are seeking and pursuing makes all the difference. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. God knows what you have need of more than you do. And He wants you to have it even more than you do. I've said many times, well, I know this and I know that, but I didn't seek to change myself. Let me say that again. There's been many times where I've said, I know, but I didn't seek change or to better myself. I thought I knew it all. I know the best for this situation. I know the best for that situation. Well, that's not God's divine order, because I don't know anything. God knows everything. When I can say, God knows, and I'm seeking Him for the answer, then I truly know that I'm in where I need to be. Because I'm putting God there instead of myself. Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them. See, covenant is blessing. Covenant is blessing. God knows where you are. When you seek the Lord with your heart and with your soul, it doesn't matter the distress. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You have what you have need of on the inside. Matthew 7:7-8, the last scripture. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. What are you seeking for 2024? Really, what are you believing for 2024? Amen. Is it in God's will? Is it God's desire? Amen. Yes, it is. But what are you desiring and seeking for God to do in 2024? You need to ask yourself that. What am I doing to believe God for what He has for me this year? Because when you do that, you put Him first, and you're going to see God move in your life. You're going to see it happen. You may not know that there is even a heaven. You may be listening online. You may be sitting here not knowing that there's a heaven. But now you do. And it can be your dwelling place for eternity as you seek the Lord. From this moment forward, you can say, Lord, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I'm going to believe and I'm going to seek your will. And the Lord will come and He'll give you a new heart and He'll give you an eternal destiny of heaven. Just like that. What are you seeking? There may be something you're going through. There may be something you're dealing with. There may be a decision you need to make. Do not make the decision without God. It may be school. It may be a job. It may be a family member. It may be a relationship. Everybody goes through things every day. Every day they need to make decisions. But every day you must wake up and say, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to seek first His kingdom above everything else. Because you know that the rest of that scripture in 33, Matthew 6:33, is talking about all the natural things that you have need of. If you're believing God for natural things, it's going to come through the hand of God this year. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Bow your heads and close your eyes. You're listening online. Bow your heads right where you are. No matter where you are, all around the world, God is no respecter of person, and He is ready to move on your behalf. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means you have to aim. You have to strive after. direct yourself towards, purpose in your heart, desire, make a decision that I'm going to seek the Lord this year with all of my heart. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. And I'm definitely not looking behind me. I'm done with 2023. What I am focusing on now is for your will to be done in my life, Lord. I may not have served you the way I should have served you last year. I may not have done everything you told me to do. But Lord, you're not done with me. Lord, you're not finished with me. This is a new year. Today is a new day. I want to encourage you, church. God loves you and He's in love with you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's never too late. It's never too late. If you have breath in your lungs, God wants to use you. Father, I thank you, each and every person here today. Just lift your hands right where you are. You don't have to stand up. Just lift your hands. That's surrender. That's surrender. Giving your heart to the Lord. Giving your life to the Lord. Giving your thoughts to the Lord. Giving your emotions to the Lord. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, just release it right now. Because the Lord's going to reveal something to you. He's going to speak to your heart right now. He's going to speak to you. Thank you, Lord. By the Spirit of God, even those listening online, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you online. Hallelujah. This is a great year. This is going to be the greatest year of the church. Hallelujah. Because God's wrapping things up. And He's calling on people. He's calling on His people to run and not grow weary. To not lose heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in your people. Thank you for the strengthening by your Spirit. As they seek you, Lord. As they hunger for you, you feed them. As they thirst for you, you give them living water. Thank you for sustaining your people. Thank you for strengthening. Give them what they have need of, Lord. Bless them to overflowing, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing to your people. Thank you for the strengthening, the impartation of your Spirit. Oh God, transformation. Seek first the kingdom. Primary things first. Going after God, running after God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come. Run to the altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar of heaven and meet God and receive from heaven. Don't grow weary. You're not alone. Come and receive what God has for you. 2024 is a great year when you seek Him first. I'm telling you, today is your day to set the stage for this year. This is an appointed time right now. This is an appointed time right now to set in order this year. Amen. This message, order. Order. It's a decision. Yeah. It's a decision you must make. What do you want for this year? What does God want for you for this year? Your steps will be ordered from this day further from the Lord if you want them to be. Father, I declare right now in Jesus' name that you will direct our steps. You will make our path straight. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Your destiny is in your decision. That's what the Lord's speaking to me right now. Your destiny is in your decision. Your destiny of heaven is your decision. Your destiny of healing is your decision. Because God wants you saved and God wants you healed. If you could keep the music playing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.